we want to add a special thanksgiving for Michael. Michael has been with us the last two Sundays. Thank you, Michael, for being with us. We deeply appreciate your presence. This is his last Sunday before he goes back to San Francisco. And then you are back. June, he'll be back after he graduates with his master's in music composition, and we'll have him back. And meanwhile, we want to give God praise and glory for Debbie, his mom, as our interim while we await for Michael to come. So thank you, Michael. May God bless you. That hymn we just sang, as I was paying attention to it, and I always invite us to pay attention to the lyrics, to the words that we sing. As you all know, I'm not a very good singer, but I do like to pay attention to the song. And it was written in 1978. 1978. You all remember where you were in 1978? Some of you were not born yet, right, Connor? Some of others. But it was written based on our passage that we're going to be reading on today from Matthew 16:19. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. So a hymn of glory let us sing. Isn't that beautiful and wonderful how people have always been inspired through the Word of God to write beautiful music unto the Lord? And we continue to sing those even as we sing some of the contemporary music. It is all unto the Lord. Amen? So today we are invited to think about appearances, and those appearances means those times when Jesus came after he was resurrected and actually appeared unto folks that were grieving his absence. So right now I'm going to be reading from Mark 16, if you have that passage, Mark 16, and we're going to start actually with verse 5. So it's a few verses that I will read, so I invite us to listen or to read it in our Bibles. There are a few Bibles or a passage you can look up in your phone. In our church, as you know, we usually read from the New Revised Standard Version. Mark 16:5. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And all that had been commanded them, they told briefly to those around Peter, and afterward Jesus himself sent out through them, from east to west, the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. Verse 9, now after he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Later, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were sitting at the table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." Verse 19, so then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That's what we usually sing during Christmas. There she goes again, referring to Christmas. Christmas, I refer to the resurrection. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. What if we started singing, go tell it on the mountain, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is alive? You like that one? Yeah. And what if during Easter we do the same things that we usually do during Christmas? What are those things that we do during Christmas? Anybody? Oh, we have an angel tree outside. Usually in our church, we go out and buy how many trees? 3 live trees or more, 4, 5, 6 wreaths, right? We decorate the church. Don't we decorate the church to the fullest? And we get Salvation Army angels that we can give to, and we do special parties for people who are not going to have a special Christmas, and we go out and we give gifts. And what else do we do? Have I helped you enough? We sing lots of carols, right? And we go out and sing carols unto people. How many carols do we have for Resurrection Sunday? Carl? No. Yeah, what if we did Resurrection and Easter Sunday the same way we do Christmas? Does that make sense to us that we should ask that question? No, only you, Pastor Mida. But you see, it makes a lot of sense to me, because if we didn't buy into all the commercial and all the gift and giving and everything that's involved in Christmas, and we instead turned it around and did a lot more during Easter, I think we would be proclaiming the message that hinges. You see, our Christian faith, our ways of believing, hinges on the fact that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. If it wasn't so that he rose from the dead, then the cradle that we so hold so dear during Christmas is meaningless. So I'm inviting us to really pay close attention to this idea of these appearances of Jesus after he resurrected. After he has resurrected, there's somebody outside looking. She just went that way. This way. Sorry. Thank you. So if the appearances of Jesus after he has resurrected makes this point about how important the fact that Jesus resurrected from the dead is to our own faith. Why did he have to appear? Did Jesus have to appear to Mary Magdalene? Why did he have to appear to two who were at the crucifixion and now were walking away on a road? Jesus has died. They're walking away. End of story, right? He was a great teacher. He was a great rabbi. They're walking away now. Why did he have to appear to them on that Good Friday? Why did he have to appear now then to the 11 who were sitting at that table talking about and grieving and mourning the fact that their beloved teacher has now died? Why did Jesus have to appear to those 11? And it's only 11 because if you know the story, that Judas, the one who betrayed him, immediately went and took his own life. So there were only not 12, but 11 left. Why do you think that Jesus had to do that? Well, we might answer that why question with a very simple answer. His followers did not believe. The Bible just told us. They did not believe. They didn't believe that Jesus would resurrect from the dead. They lacked that faith. You see, Jesus is not appearing to random people, strangers on their way out and doing their daily business. He's appearing to those he loved, those he has shared his moments with, those who had witnessed his curing people, those who had been even touched by him and had been healed by him, those who had seen how he changed fishes and he multiplied the loaves, those who had seen him walk on water, those who had they had seen him touch somebody, and can you see? Well, I see a blurry. I see people walking as they are trees. And then he had to come and touch him again. So he gives another touch, a second touch. These are the people who had witnessed and had felt and had been part of the whole experience of Jesus' ministry. These are the people he had taught them to pray. When you pray, say it this way, "Our Father who art in heaven," or as little children say, "Our Father who dost art in heaven." These are the people, very intimate people, who were with him. These are the ones who are receiving now his appearances. These are the ones to whom Jesus is coming back. For all of these people still needed a second touch, a second moment of faith and of believing. He needed for them to come back to them and give them another opportunity to believe. And Jesus does. How many of us have ever needed another opportunity to believe? Amen? You need another opportunity to believe. Where are you, Jesus? Can you really be true? Can this your way, your healing touch, your power to transform and to forgive and to give me a new way? Can there be a different way? Can you appear again in my life? I need another opportunity to believe. And isn't it wonderful that then Jesus comes back with another opportunity to believe? You see, it's very easy. Jesus wanted for them to believe. There's another reason that seems obvious, too, in Mark as to why Jesus had to appear post-resurrection. Because his message of salvation, his message of healing, his message of a second chance and a second opportunity to believe, or a first opportunity to believe, his message of love needed to continue through the lives of those first believers. It needed to see Jesus was going to go back up to heaven. Who was going to carry out this message? Who was going to carry out the message of salvation, of healing, of reconciliation, of love, of mercy, of another opportunity to believe? Who was going to carry out his message if not the ones who had received another opportunity to believe, his disciples? If not, it would have ended in that verse 8. You have your Bible, look at verse 8 in that Mark passage, Mark 16, verse 8, where it says that the women, he appeared to those women and he told them, "Go and tell the disciples that Jesus is going ahead of you." And it says that the women were so fearful that they said nothing to no one. It would have stopped there. Fear paralyzes. Fear freezes us so that we don't do nothing. You like that English? You don't like it? It's good English. Fear does that. It freezes you. So they're fearful. They don't know what's going on. What is this? Is Jesus resurrected? Did he come back? Is this true? And so they are gripped with fear. Whatever is informing their fear, it says that they said nothing. They will not tell anyone of the empty tomb. They will not tell anyone that there was an angel. They will not tell anybody that Jesus has gone out and will meet the disciples. Fear freezes and paralyzes. But faith does the opposite. Faith does the opposite. Faith releases you so that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Faith says, with God, all things are possible. Fear paralyzes. Faith releases us. Faith says that I can do this in God's honor, no matter who says I can't or I won't. With God, all things are possible. See, faith is the opposite. Faith empowers you and empowers me to do that which we thought was not possible for us to do. If we say, God, I'm going to do this, it's going to be beneficial for my life, but I'm going to do it unto your honor and your glory. Faith does that. It helps you to achieve, to keep doing that which is good and God-honoring, although forces of evil will always say, no, stop. Don't say anything to anybody. Be fearful. Be leery. Stop. You see, God's message of love and salvation could not be stopped. And so that's why a lot of people think that Mark's ending ended with verse 8, but that it could not end with people being silent. It needed to continue. And that's why you see now the appearance of Christ himself appearing to Mary Magdalene to remind her, yeah, I healed you once and I can heal you again. You need a second chance to believe me. And I'm going to appear to those walking down the road because they are saying that was the end of that story. Let us move on. A nice rabbi has died, but it was not the end of the story. And we are all here to testify over 2,000 years of story that says the story did not end there. So there's another ending that is added to Mark. If you notice, there was a little parenthesis there, and then it continues on. It's the ending comes and appears to empower the disciples and to give them their marching order. Have you ever been lost and said, well, what do I do? Where do I go? Who's going to tell me where to go, what to do? Well, you go to Jesus. That's what I do. You go to Jesus and you say, what am I to do? And Jesus comes and gives them this marching orders. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it everywhere that Jesus Christ is alive. Go tell it to others. Go share the good news. He is alive in you. He is alive now in you, those disciples, because he has empowered you now not only to speak of love, but now, as Jesus goes back to heaven, it is those disciples that are empowered to be Christ present unto somebody else. You see, now the appearances of Jesus, stay with me a little bit longer. I know, it gets hard. Stay with me a little bit longer. Now the appearances of Jesus are you and me speaking and being Christ's ambassadors unto somebody else. You with me? You see, when Christ first resurrected, he needed to appear to let him know that this is for real. He resurrected. But now he's empowered and given the message of good news and of possibility to those who believe in him. And now you and I, Christ's church, we are those ambassadors and appearance, the real appearance of the Christ who died and resurrected unto the life of others. And my brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter if we're 300, 400, 1,000, or only a few today. You are empowered to be the presence of Christ unto somebody else's life. And that's what the appearances mean to all of us. Because now we have the marching orders. Go into the world and teach them and baptize them. And I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. And see, how can we be the appearance of Christ unto somebody else when we are there for that person, even by allowing them a shoulder to cry on, by giving that special hug that holds, not the one that pats, you know, oh, there. No, the hug that holds, you know that hug that actually holds? You're being Christ's presence unto somebody else. By visiting somebody who is feeling lonely and left out, by visiting somebody that is sick, you are being Christ's very presence unto somebody else. Those tutors that are doing ESL and giving of your time and of your talent and oftentimes of your treasure unto those students, we are being Christ's presence, the appearance of Christ onto their lives. Those of you who have accepted a call into leadership in this Christ church, you have said, I will be Christ's presence into somebody else through my leadership. I will be that person that God can use. You see, we cannot, the body of Christ cannot be absent from everyday life. We've got to show up. We are Christ's ambassadors. Those who are downstairs teaching and have said yes to teaching, they are being Christ's representatives to the littlest of the littlest that otherwise will grow up not knowing about God, the powerful, the love of God, the sacrifice needed of love, the sacrifice of Christ. They are being the appearance of Christ unto those children. Are you with me? Imagine if the story had ended at verse 8 of Mark 16, that it says that they froze, that the people of God freeze, and they say nothing. They do nothing. But it didn't end there. When you give of your music gift unto the church, you are being the appearance of Christ unto somebody else that will cause them to believe. Not in believe in humanity, as people say, now I believe in humanity. The Good Samaritan helped me, now I believe in humanity. It's not about humanity, it's about God. Amen? And about what God can do. So the appearances for today, my brothers and sisters, is that we are those who believe, and as we go and partake of the Lord's Supper today, and I'm inviting us, as we partake of the real sacrifice, of the real giving of Christ's self unto us, we are invited to partake that and say, now then, I have been given my marching orders. Whether you're at work, whether you're at school, whether you're retired, wherever you're at, you're still God's presence unto somebody else. And don't we all need it? Because don't we all need that second chance to believe? Don't we all need that possibility? And sometimes we're just God's presence unto each other. Sometimes, you know, I feel very discouraged, and somebody will come and pick me up and remind me who God is. That God is love, and God is powerful, and God knows the truth. Right? And sometimes we need, and oftentimes we need to be that appearance of Christ himself unto somebody else. Now, we are not Christ. We did not die on the cross. Let's not be have that messianic complex that some people call. We are not Christ, but we go forth in Christ's presence with his marching orders. That's powerful, my brothers and sisters. Especially in a world that is so, we use the word, Ken used the word in Bible study, when we're all messed up, right? When the world is messed up, when we don't have that unity, and people are wondering, where is God? There's a movie that's called God's Not Dead, right? It just released. I haven't seen it. God's Not Dead. Well, guess what? God's not dead because he lives in us. Christ lives in us, and we are called then to be that blessing unto our friends, unto our neighbors, unto somebody else. And it doesn't have to be huge, and it doesn't have to be publicized on Facebook, look what I can do, and look what I did, and I'm the hero of the world now. I'm so good. It's as simple as holding somebody's hand when they are down. It's as simple as sharing a prayer with somebody. It is as simple as saying, I care for you. I am here for you. That is Christ's love and faith. I am encouraged today because of Christ's love for me. Are you? We are all empowered to be that unto somebody else. If you are, you will rise above the negativity of everyday life, and you will say, I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. I know that he is living. Amen and amen. And so as we get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper today, let us sing together around the table as printed in our bulletin.